Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's the first week of classes for some Milwaukee students, though most kids still have a couple of weeks of freedom left. The time to stress about homework and exams will come soon enough, but for many high school seniors, the pressure to get into college is mounting. What if there were a test that would not only determine whether you would go to university, but also the direction of the rest of your life? No, we're not talking about the ACTs here, but rather the subject of author Joelle Charbonneau's young adult dystopian novel, The Testing. The Chicago area writer tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce what inspired her story.
I teach. I'm a private voice teacher, so I have a lot of high school students. And every year I work with them on getting them ready for their college application process, getting them ready for their auditions. And every year it gets a little more difficult. What used to be 3 to 4 schools they had to audition at, now it's sometimes 10 to 12 to get into a top school. And some of my students do better with the stress than others, some don't. And a couple of years ago, one of my students was starting to melt down a little bit about the stress of it all. And I told her, don't worry, this is the worst I've seen it. I can't imagine it's going to get any worse. After I was done saying that, I went, gee, I wonder what would be worse to get into college. I hoped to set it in a contemporary setting, but I couldn't find a way to do what I was kind of looking for. So we had to kind of go far in the future to find a society that might be willing to take testing to a very extreme level.
Tell us a little bit about what's happened to the world and global politics and international relations in our protagonist, Sia's Time.
Sia's Time is about 100 years after the 7 stages of war, which to me, in my universe, was the first 4 stages are man-made. So it's the world of one by one by one, pulling all the different continents involved until they have gone terribly far and destroyed a whole lot of things. They've dropped a lot of biological and chemical weapons. And in doing so, when they finally decide, oh, wait, we've maybe taken this too far, we're destroying ourselves, and they stop, the Earth then fights back. Put that much chemical, biological warfare into the air and you drop that many bombs, you know, fault lines now have been disturbed. And so there's lots of earthquakes, there's lots of weather changes. And it's 100 years later and they're trying to recolonize and fix what they once broke. So they're trying to clean the water. They're trying to be able to grow things in the ground again. And in Sia's Time, they're trying to recolonize like they did the 13 original colonies and bit by bit by bit fix the world.
And Sia lives in the Five Lakes Colony,
yes,
which I want to have you describe where this is supposed to be set, because I think our listeners would be familiar.
It's actually the UP. It's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My dad grew up there. So to me, no one was going to bomb the UP. So it was a really good place to put a colony to kind of fix things. I mean, there's still, you can't change the fact that the water is corrupted because of, you know, Chicago got bombed. Sorry, Chicago. So, you know, the Great Lakes were kind of corrupted. And so were, you know, the weather patterns, acid rain, that kind of thing. But it was a good place to set the rebirth of another colony.
Well, even though so much is different in Sia's life and in her time, you know, the idea of an adolescent coming into adulthood is still very much the same. And at the beginning of the book, we see Sia going through this kind of adulthood ceremony. And like any teenager, she has dreams for her future. What are Sia's goals?
Sia really wants to be chosen for the testing like her dad was before. Her dad graduated from the university. There is one university and it is located in Tosu City for them, which is Wichita for us. I figured no one would bomb Wichita either. And she desperately wants to be chosen. She wants to be one of the leaders of the country. And that's the one way to be able to get a college education is to be chosen to sit for the testing, which is their version of the SATs, and hopefully get chosen to be one of the next university students and then go on to be one of the country's leaders.
Now, much like you've had to counsel your students, her father takes her aside to counsel her on the testing. What is some of the advice that he gives her that immediately starts to set off her alarm bells?
Well, his main advice is to trust no one. He does not remember his own testing. They don't believe in the honor system. They remove everybody's memories of that period of time so that way they can't cheat later on and let somebody else know what to expect. At least that's what they say. But he does have really bad nightmares and he vaguely thinks that these are perhaps real memories, but he doesn't really know. So he does warn her that he thinks the testing is more than maybe paper and pencil tests and that there might be bigger consequences to getting a wrong answer and that she should really trust nobody because some people might be out for themselves and be willing to sabotage her in order to be able to get themselves chosen and get a better grade.
Right. She quickly learns once they get to Tosu City and they begin this testing process that it is, in fact, her worst fear, that there are perhaps sinister forces at work here.
Yes. Not only, you know, the testing officials and what they might be looking for in them, but also their fellow candidates. It's very similar to when I tell my students when they're going to auditions. You never know from one school to another what kind of kids you're going to run into. There's a lot of them that will ask you, so what are you singing for your audition? And a bunch of them, you know, when you answer, will say, oh, well, that's really interesting. You know, they try to psych you out. So there are those kids who feel like if you do a bad job, then they have a better shot of winning, you know, and actually getting what they want, which is acceptance to the university. So she learns that, yes, there are multiple forces at work against her.
Tell me about how you designed the testing and, you know, as you were creating this story and what lines you had to walk in terms of describing certain acts of violence, really, against these young people.
Well, the testing is designed just like the SAT. So there is first the written exam, and it is pencil and paper, and each team is kind of got their own grading system depending on what your skill set is coming in. They like grade you on a curve based on the other people that are in your skill set because they don't expect everybody to be just as good at math as perhaps Sia will be. I probably should never make a character quite so smart again because I had to go back and try to relearn calculus so I could explain it in a very simple way that made a character sound like they understood it. And calculus was not my best subject in high school. She's way smarter than me. But they do warn them that, like the SAT, you are not allowed to guess at times because if you guess, you could be penalized for a wrong answer. In the SAT, they only take off a quarter of a point. In the testing, it might be something far worse.
Like a quarter of your finger.
Yeah, there could be something in your finger, your eye. There are some bad things that happen, but they are given some fair warning. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't listen to it because, like the SAT, I think there's probably a really good inclination for somebody to want to guess and hopefully score that full credit. There's then a hands-on second portion of it. So it's more lab work, you know, how well do you know something? The third round of testing is a team test. How well can you learn about your fellow candidates, judge their skills, as well as how well can you do yourself? And then the fourth test is kind of a practical exam. They want them to see the world that has been destroyed and what is going to be in front of them and be able to kind of survive in that world a little bit and survive their fellow contestants as well.
When Sia's thrown out into the world in Chicago, I couldn't stop myself from thinking, boy, it's kind of like when you graduate from university and you're just, you know, thrown out to the wolves and you got to learn how to do all of this stuff, but to an extreme.
Yes, it is to an extreme. But yeah, there is kind of some of that. Sorry. Parents, it's really not that bad.
I can't help but think that with a teenage protagonist that a lot of young readers would feel a connection with Sia. So what message are we giving them with these kinds of stories of these terrible futures and don't trust adults because they secretly want to weed you out to become robotic leaders?
Not all the adults. There's a lot of good adults. I think that any coming-of-age story, and I mean so many of, I think, the YA fiction that's out there are coming-of-age stories, are really about, you know, teens coming in their own, learning to trust their own opinions, learning to take what they got from their background and from their parents and the things that they've learned, and then look at the world around them and see how it fits. And I think so much of the testing is Sia doing that, because I think so many kids, when they're going off to college, that's what they're really doing. I mean, I watch all my students, you know, I have several of them that are going off to college again this year. And really, very much, it is them, you know, as a member of their family, as a member of their unit, that, you know, and it's a very safe environment, taking everything that they know and have learned and then kind of testing it against the world that they go into. And I think that is a very common theme I'm learning in young adult fiction, which makes sense.
I wonder, too, if there's a lesson in this about, you know, be careful what you wish for, in the sense that Sia wanted this. She worked her whole life to be selected for the testing, and once she's in it, she realizes what it really is all about.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, the things you most wish for are probably something that you might not want. There's a Stephen Sondheim musical that does that, Into the Woods. You know, it's everybody gets their happily ever after by act one, and by act two, they realize maybe that's probably what they weren't supposed to have because, you know, it doesn't quite work out the way you thought. But for Sia, I mean, even when she's in the middle of the testing, as much as she really hates what they're being put through, she doesn't necessarily hate her country. She still has the hope that there is a purpose behind this. You know, she can't imagine what it is sometimes. But she really believes in the rebuilding process, the idea that we're all supposed to try to make this world better. And, you know, even through the whole thing, you know, she kind of clings to that.
You have to wonder, though, what kind of leaders the country is trying to prepare here or select here that could get through a testing like this.
Well, sometimes the person that is supposed to be the president is the one that has to be able to push the button, has to be able to make those terrible choices. And just because they say they can push the button doesn't mean they actually can. Doesn't mean that necessarily you want them as your best friend. You might not want them over for dinner, but they might be the type of person that is able to make a really horrendous, you know, choice that is, you know, not necessarily the choice between a good idea and a bad idea, but between two really bad circumstances, and they have to choose the best one. And sometimes those decisions, you know, are impossible to judge as to what someone will do until you put them in those circumstances.
Now, obviously, the testing is the first in a trilogy.
Yes.
Can you tell us about the other stories without giving too much away, obviously?
Independent study will come out on January 7th. They're coming out really, really fast. That is at the university. And it is Sia, now after the testing, now learning more about the world around her, learning more about what is behind the testing, trying to decide if the testing really should continue. There are forces that perhaps want the testing to stop, and whether or not she should throw her lot in with them, or if you would rather try to change something from within, you know, be a part of this government that eventually will change something, or does it need to change now? And how much control really or impact can she have as, you know, a 17-year-old in the middle of this city? And the third book in the trilogy is Graduation Day. There is kind of the theme of just because you graduate doesn't necessarily make you an adult. Sometimes it is the decisions that you are forced to make. And when you step up and not, you know, graduating from the university and being told you're going to be one of the next leaders doesn't necessarily make you a leader. It's making the choices that you need to make and to do what is necessary that sometimes are. And then how far are you willing again to go?
What was the challenge in writing a dystopian trilogy in the wake of The Hunger Games?
Well, The Hunger Games is just a phenomenon. And it's funny because I haven't read a lot of the other dystopian novels that I know came out in the wake of The Hunger Games. I think it's kind of fun to be compared to that same genre because it is such a phenomenon. I'm not sure anything can live up to The Hunger Games, you know, here in this country, because it is such a phenomenon. But I think that it is that those kind of stories have always been around, but that once again opened people up to these very intense stories that have interesting themes to them that I think are far beyond a young adult idea. The Hunger Games used a lot of reality TV. There's some interesting commentary there that I really am fascinated by. And I don't know, I think that coming out after The Hunger Games, people have very high expectations for this genre as well. They expect to be challenged. They expect to have violence. I guess maybe I'm allowed to do what I do in this book because of The Hunger Games. But it's been interesting to kind of get to see all of the fiction that has come out since The Hunger Games and kind of celebrate this genre again.
Well, Joelle Charbonneau, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about the testing and the two upcoming books.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
Joelle Charbonneau is the author of The Testing, the first in a trilogy of young adult novels. The second book, Independent Study, will be out in January. A musician, actress, and voice teacher, Charbonneau is also the author of comedic mystery novels for general readers. She lives in the Chicago area, and she spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Coming up next, a night to honor the late musician Richard Levallier. It's also a time to raise funds for his favorite charity. Stay tuned for that. It's Lake Effect on WUWM.